The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, lest anyone think that the Old Testament is not relevant for life in the 21st century, and maybe just the New Testament is applicable to us today, I would refer you to the 20-somethings chapters of Exodus. That's where we are on Exploring the Word. Bert Harper and myself, Alex McFarland. And Bert, as we've been reading Exodus 22 and 23, about moral living and ethical living and making restitution if something goes wrong that you're responsible for. And chapter 23 says, do not spread a false report. Do not be party to wicked deeds. This is just good, practical, common sense living. And so this is Exploring the Word, and we're so honored that you're listening. If you would, get a copy of the Bible, turn to the Old Testament book of Exodus. And Bert, we often say Old Testament, New Testament. It's really kind of Old Covenant, New Covenant. Christ has come, Christ is risen, salvation is by grace through faith. But the moral precepts and wisdom for living of God's holy word, it's applicable in every generation, isn't it?
It really is. And again, that was so real in 22 and 23. And when you come to 24, it's like, okay, God really means it. And he gives them written evidence of it. He's going to give them a visual evidence of it at the top of the mountain. And so this is going to come. He's driving it home that this is real and true and to live this way, Alex. And they all agree, all the things you said we'll do, but they back down on that. But it is God showing them who he is as much as he can at that time. Again, that's revelation that's coming. He'd finally come in the person of Jesus Christ. But God here is revealing something of himself to his people. He told them in Exodus chapter 6 that he was going to bring them out. He said that he would come and he would share with them and help them. And now he is making himself known to them to dwell among them, Alex. And that's what chapter 24 is about. Matter of fact, chapter 24 and 25, let me jump ahead, and then let's go backward a minute. In chapter 25, verse 8, this is very important. And let them make a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Now, I am telling, that is powerful. Now, again, we've talked about God revealing himself. Before this, with Adam, I would say Enoch and Abraham, he walked with them. But now, when we come to this place, the rest of the time, he dwells with them. But then, after Jesus Christ comes, death, burial, and resurrection, at Pentecost, he indwells us. Amen. Isn't that awesome? He walked, he dwelt with, but now, in our day, he indwells. God in us. What a God we serve, Alex.
Well, amen. And, you know, I know you look for repeated words, and several times in chapter 24, as Moses gave them the words of the Lord, they said, these we will do, or they promised to be obedient. Now, that obedience is going to kind of come and go over the years and be off and on.
Sounds like familiar territory for us, too. Go ahead, man.
Exactly. Moses is being a good pastor in verse 3, or any pastor would do well to emulate this. Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. That's what we're to do. We're to declare the whole counsel of God. And they're building an altar in the basins, and they're having the ceremonial rituals. And again, all of this in the Old Testament, I know it can seem very intricate, the sacrifices and the feast days. See, all of these things point to the Messiah that would come. Now, everything is fulfilled in Jesus. We, by faith, look back at the Savior that did come. Same Messiah, same Jesus, just two different sides of the cross. And, you know, Bert, I got to say this, and I want to read 7 and 8. you know, it's like the latter verses of Hebrews chapter 11 that talks about that we have the promise. In other words, we know Christ was born in Bethlehem, virgin born, sinless. We know he rose from the dead. You know, people, sometimes they reach out to me, Bert, and they'll say, how do I have more faith? And yet they know all of the minutiae of the gospel story. Well, I look back at this and the blood and the covenants and the sacrifices, and these people in faith trusted that the Savior would come. I gotta say, looking back, it's so complex, and I think prior to Christ's coming, maybe a little vague. I'm just in awe of the faith and the trust they had. I mean, it's hard enough for people to believe today. It shouldn't be. And we know how this. We know the tomb is empty.
Amen.
You know, I mean, we really, it's been spoon-fed to us. We've got no excuse not to believe in Jesus.
Amen, Alex. Before you read 7 and 8, there's something I think in verse 4. I believe it's very significant. I've underlined it. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord are written. This, I think it goes along with what you just said. Yeah, you know, it was difficult sometimes, but Moses, in his encounter with God, a personal encounter with God, Moses wrote all the words of the Lord. Alex, praise God that we have the book of Exodus, you know, the book of Genesis. And here it is. God is instructing Moses. He wrote it down. He comes and he builds an altar, and the blood is sprinkled on the basin, and it's sprinkled on the altar, and later it's sprinkled on the people. And that's what you're going to get to in verse 7 and 8. But this is a blood covenant, and it's a picture of the blood that Jesus Christ himself would give of himself on the cross. People said he shed it or spilled it. It's more like he poured it. In other words, yeah. When you spill something, it's accidental. When you pour it, it's purposeful. Jesus came purposefully to die on the cross to give us life through his blood. So here we have Moses wrote it down. They agree to it. They have an altar, and they have a blood covenant to secure it, Alex, and to say all that God has said, we will do.
You know, I would love to go to the Moses Bible Institute of the Wilderness out there. You look at these verbs, like in verse 3 and following, Moses came, and Moses told, and Moses took, and Moses read, and Moses wrote, and then in verse 5, Moses sent young men out to the children of Israel. And you know what? See, that's a good model for any church. A pastoral ministry, Sunday school teachers, we read and we proclaim and we impart and we role model, and then we go through, and I want to talk about the sacrifices. We're to give the salvation message. We don't do ritual sacrifices, but I think every opportunity we're to tell of the final sacrifice of Jesus. And it says the people believed, but then Moses sent. And I think every church should be a sending church, really.
Amen. Amen.
You know? And yeah. Let me just say to everybody listening, if your church has never had someone called into full-time ministry from out of your church, pray about that. You know, the Bible says, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers. Every church should be a sending church. But in verses 7 and 8, Moses took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all the Lord has said we will do and be obedient. Amen. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. Now, the Bible tells us that Christ was offered for sin because it was not possible that the blood of bulls and goats would permanently resolve the sin issue. But it took the blood of God's own Son, Jesus Christ. And that's why from the cross, he could say, it is finished. Because if you've put your faith in Jesus, the blood of the covenant, Christ's blood on Calvary's cross, was shed for you and for me. And Bert, That's why I'm going to say this. I'm going to throw it to you. We get people, and every Sunday it seems like people come up and they'll say, you know, I'm worried I'm not saved. How can I be sure? And I've had people say to me, you know, I've prayed the salvation prayer countless times. How do I have assurance? Let me say this. Trust God. Take God at his word. But here's the thing. If the blood of Jesus couldn't wash my sin away, nothing could.
Amen.
Am I right,
Bert? You are right on. What shall wash away my sin?
Nothing.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. He is the one and only. And Alex, again, sprinkling it out on the people. Again, you see this God making this transaction between himself and these people. This is awesome. That he would make himself known to them, and then they were to make him known to others. The missional part is real. They're going into a land. And again, I've shared this several times as well. This is a significant piece of property. Now, I know it's been, but notice the location. It's basically where three continents, not exactly, but where three continents come together, Asia, you know, Europe, Africa. And if you're making a transaction by land from one to the other, the possibility of you coming through there and them the see how they live, how they worship. It's just like, when the guy came up and he came from Ethiopia, the eunuch, and he came what? To Jerusalem to worship. And he went back with some of God's word in the book of Isaiah, and he wanted to know, who's he talking about, himself or another? And Philip was there to declare to him the Lord Jesus Christ. The children of Israel, what they were to do in this, at that place, they was to share, demonstrate all of it. This is who we worship, and he is the true living God. There is no other. We're called on that today. It's through Jesus Christ. But then in verse 9, Moses went up. Now, that's an important word. You're looking at these repeated words again. Mm-hmm. You'll find this. Moses went up, up, and up. Three times we find him going up. And I think this is maybe a picture, Alex. You're the one that always say, I don't want to spiritualize too much. So I'm going to say that this time. I don't want to spiritualize too much. But for him to have this personal encounter with God, he went up and up and up. You know,
amen.
And this is what we're to do. We're to grow in Christ. The more you know him, the better you know him. I want to tell you, he becomes more precious. What's that song that the Gaithers wrote? The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Have you found that true in your life, Alex?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Folks, trust Jesus. Walk with Jesus. He is so faithful. He is so wonderful. And, you know, I got to tell you, as a young Christian, you know, I thought about things God might do for me. Maybe if I pray and work real hard, the Lord will help me get through Liberty University, and the Lord will let me marry Angie. And I got to tell you, maybe I'm just very carnal. I used to think about what the Lord could do for me. But I'm going to tell you, the longer I've walked with the Lord, it's just the presence of Jesus himself that is life's greatest blessing.
Jesus is enough. He is sufficient. Amen. If you don't know him, you're missing out on the greatest relationship there ever could be. We'll be back with more right after the break. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That is why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps to rescue five babies. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword baby. That's 250-BABY, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
Lately I've been wrestling with everything, 'cause everything seems hard. Been caught up in the worry and anxiety, keeps tearing me apart. But I've been down and out before, and every time I cry out to the Lord, He meets me in my need. I've seen and I believe.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Bertie and Alex here. We're in Exodus chapter 24, and we were talking about Moses going up. And when they went up, in verse 10, it sounds like they had an experience, Alex, that was very significant. Do you want to tell us that?
Well, yeah, you know, he goes up the mountain, Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and the 70 elders of Israel. And verse 10 is just amazing. I mean, try to imagine this. In a way, this kind of reminds me of what the Apostle John saw in the beginning of the book of Revelation. They saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. Bert, this is King James. I want to hear, what translation do you have?
Mine's the New King James. You want me to read it?
You read verse 10, if you would.
And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and it was like the very heavens in its clarity.
Yes. I mean, it's almost just beyond description, isn't it? But in Matthew 17, Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John momentarily saw just the blinding brightness of Christ's deity. And we've got Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu with Moses. Now, Moses was a prophet. Jesus was prophet, priest, and king. In a way, Moses on Mount Sinai is in some ways pictorial, ultimately, of Jesus on Mount Calvary. And here it's not Peter, James, and John. It's Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu. But this is one of those times that, as much as a human eyes can stand, a little bit of the explosive glory of God was revealed.
That's exactly what it is. Nobody can look at him face to face, as it would say later. But you see him, the glory, the Shekinah glory of God. And so it was revealed. And in verse 11, it says, so they saw God. And that's what it is. Now, again, I would say, let me just give this poor, poor illustration of it, Alex. If I was coming into a store and I saw a friend walking out the other door, I didn't necessarily see him face to face. He was far off, but I saw him. You catch? And and God here is revealing himself to them as much, I want to share with you, I think as much as they could take. You know, no one can look upon me and live. So God in his mercy is letting them see what they're seeing, not totally, but in this area of smallness of a part of God or some of his essence of who he is. And so, well, go ahead.
Well, in verse 11, and upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. Now, again, it says that 70 elders went up, and that's the nobles or the venerated men. They went up. They saw God and did eat and drink, meaning they saw the glory of God and lived to tell about it. Am I right?
You are exactly right. And so this is an encounter. Let's talk about this just for a second before we go on. This is their encounter with God. And you talked about it earlier. This should be sufficient. But, and they, it is at the moment, but we're prone to wander, you know? Humans are prone to forget. Okay, God had brought them out of Egypt with the 10 plagues. They got out there and they started murmuring. They, you know, they forgot all that God had done. Did God think he would just bring them out to let them die there? No, God brought them out for purpose. This is one of the most important things I believe as a follower of Christ that you who are listening can do. You were born again for a purpose. You're not just to live your life on your own. No, Jesus came not to do his will, but the will of the Father. You've been saved, and you're to do the will of the Father. And your purpose, ultimate purpose, Alex, of every believer is to glorify him. That is the ultimate purpose. Now, there may be different avenues of his will for each individual to follow in order to accomplish that. But regardless of what you're doing right now, we have people that's calling in, and this time of year, they're hitting the fields. The farmers are hitting the fields, and I hear them all the time. Yeah, I'm in my tractor, and I've got my radio on, and truck drivers, people coming home from work, children coming home from school. Listen, every one of you, you've been born again. Your purpose is to glorify God in your body, and he will reveal to you, I believe this with all my heart, Alex, he'll reveal to you as you walk with him his specific will for your life. But our ultimate purpose is always to glorify him, isn't it?
Amen. Amen. And I know we're going slowly here, wrapping up Exodus 24, but Moses and the men go up to the mountain, and Moses rose up, and Joshua, Moses went up to the mountain of God. And Moses said to the elders, this is verse 14, wait here for us until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matter to do, let him come to them. In other words, see, I don't think Moses knows how long he's going to be gone. Now, we're going to get to that. And, you know, Aaron and Hur are going to sort of reign in Moses' stead.
Alex, it says, indeed, Aaron and Hur are here with you. If any man has a difficulty, let him go to them. I think it's a little, the way it's expressed, I'll just be plain. I think it's a little bit of relief.
Well, yeah.
You know, I don't have to be here to handle that. They're going to handle that. I'm going to go meet God. Amen?
Well, indeed. And let me tell you another little bit about this is that, do you remember when Moses was at Mount Sinai and, you know, finally God had to say, get down, your people have defiled themselves.
Right.
You know? It's almost like, look, I'm going to go meet with God, and when I come back, I don't want you all to be into the mischief that you've gotten into before. Aaron and Hur are going to be here. Anyway, Moses goes up into the mountain, and a cloud covers the mountain. And I'm going to pull out two things here, two numbers, the number 7 and the number 40. And Moses is up there. The glory of the Lord abode on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the 7th day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Now, here's the thing. The Bible says our God is a consuming fire. And no one could stand or survive in the midst of the power and glory and holiness of God, but in the righteousness of Christ. And Bert, I remember I read a commentary 20 years ago that said the righteousness of Christ that envelops the believer is almost like a fireproof suit. And this one commentator said a holy-proof suit. In other words, to enter the very presence of Almighty God, not in the righteousness of Christ, it would be unsurvivable. But Moses is up there meeting with the Lord. Now, 6 days, and then the 7th, he called Moses out of the cloud, and he was there 40 days and 40 nights. Now, I don't want to over-spiritualize this. And in a way, let me say there are things in the Bible that are explicit and things that are implicit. Something explicit is just very undeniably clear, unmistakably clear. Something implicit might be somewhat vague. There are things that are exoteric and esoteric, very clear, not so clear. I will say this, when I see the number six, I think of creation, but I also think of the fall, and the number of man is six. When I think of the number seven, I think of God's perfection, and seven is also the number of completeness. So in a way, on Mount Sinai here, 6 days, and then up into the very presence of God on the seventh. Bert, I think it's that, for one thing, just as the day of rest came out after the 6 days of creation, the era of salvation comes after the moment of the fall. And then 40 days and 40 nights, the number 40 is incredibly significant. And like I said, there have been great people that have written about this. But the Israelites are going to be in the wilderness 40 years, and Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days fasting, you know?
It seems like a time of testing and proving, Alex.
Yes.
You know, 40, there's something about that that goes along with that. You know, this was proving Moses. I think Moses, not necessarily proving, are you up to it, Moses, but proving to Moses who God is.
Last thing I'll say about this, you know, God gave Nineveh 40 days to repent before judgment. The flood of Noah, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. There's something about testing and judgment that is signified by the number 40. And so Moses up here in the presence of God's glory, it's all about what are we entering? We're entering the covenant of the promises of salvation, which of course would be embodied and realized in the person of Jesus Christ. And I will also say this too, and I'll throw it back to you, that it pictures, I think, the holiness of God and the faithfulness of God. Because the biblical God and the God that gave Moses the promise of a Savior, God keeps his word. This is the covenant-keeping God, isn't it?
It really is. And again, it's proven to Moses, not just trying him, but proven to Moses who God is. In the wilderness, those 40 years, what did God provide? He provided the manna. He provided the water. He was a God of provision. 40 years, has something to do with all of that, you said, Alex. Now, again, let me go back. I know we accuse each other of going back, and let me go back. I think something very important happened in verse 12. Far as we know, this is the first time. And it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be there, that I will give you tablets of stone." Alex, notice it says, "And the law and commandment which I have written." Now, go back and compare what it says in verse 4. It says, Moses wrote all the words of the Lord that he had said. But at this significant time, the tablets which I wrote that you will teach, which I have written. Now, again, this is it. Come up to me. The other thing I was wanting to share with you is, again, I already mentioned it, come up. But notice, the 70 should go so far, the 70. And then the four of them would go a little further. And then those three would be left behind. We're talking about the three people, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, but his servant Joshua. Verse 13, don't forget Joshua is with them, my assistant. And those two go on further. But then finally, it's only Moses there during this period of time. And again, spiritualizing. Yeah, God's got something for us, and we want to go all the way with him. And as you said, Moses is, a type of Christ here. Only he could go to that top of that mountain where it was. There was only Jesus that could die on the cross to have our sins forgiven, Alex. Only Jesus. And when we read this, this is missional. This is evangelistic. This is not just information. When you read it and you see it and you know what happens in the New Testament, it really brings it alive to the point, what a God we serve. And going back to what you said, listen, I know we have the indwelling Holy Spirit, we have his written word, but God was given these Israelites enough to know who he was at this time so they could follow him. He's not, quote, cutting them short. He's given them the evidence. And then when you get to chapter 25, and we're going to cover that, I guess that will be Monday because tomorrow is Fire Away Friday. But those of you that are listening, I'm giving you a reading assignment. Look, if you would, and read 25. And I know it take up an offering. But verse 8, I want to share with you. He said that I may dwell among you. And then in verse 22, you read this ahead. And he says this to them. And there I will meet with you, and I will speak with you from above the mercy seat. Alex, this is just, chapter 25 is awesome. I'm going to dwell with you. And how am I going to deal with you? I'm going to meet you on the mercy seat.
Amen.
That's the God we serve, Alex. He's an awesome God.
Well, verse 17 and 18, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. Okay, Bert, the glory of the Lord on the top of the mountain. I guess fire, unapproachable fire that covers the entire mountain, that would seem like glory. But I'll tell you an even bigger glory, and that's a windswept hill outside of Jerusalem with an old rugged cross.
Yes.
And someone beaten, bloody, suffering, dying. You know, years ago there was a famous person in the news who said, you know, Jesus died on the cross. You know, how is that worthy of worship? See, that's the beauty of God, is that the way to exaltation is humility, and the way to life is to die to self and live for Christ. Jesus, bearing the sin debt of the human race, victoriously dying and even more victoriously rising. Now that is glory.
Amen. Hey, we want to take your Bible question, 888-589-8840. We'd like to thank Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word, Alex and Bert. So glad you're listening. Now, here's the number. If you have a Bible question, we would love to have a phone call from you today. Love to hear from you. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. And Bert, a friend of mine of 30 years tonight, Frank Turek, is going to be at Mississippi State tonight, 6:30 p.m. Central Time in McCool Hall, McCool Hall, McCool Hall. Frank Turek is just a great defender of the faith. I've known Frank literally 30 years, and he's going to be speaking on, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. And so if you happen to be near Mississippi State, maybe you could go hear him tonight. And I'll mention this again, but Sunday for two services, I'm going to be in Oklahoma. It's right near Oklahoma City, Liberty Church, Pastor Paul Blair, just one of the great pastors in our nation, one of the great churches in Oklahoma. And I'll be doing a series Sunday morning on answering the questions of skeptics and how to really defend the faith here in the secular 21st century. So if you're in Oklahoma this Sunday at Liberty Church, I would love to meet you in person.
And I will be at Ozark Baptist Church. I'm their new interim pastor. I'll be preaching at 11 o'clock Sunday morning. If you can come out, not have a home church, we'd love to see you. And I'll be preaching on Jesus' journey to Jerusalem. We're going to start, and then we'll finish up on Easter Sunday with this series. I hope it'll be a blessing. So, Alex, it's good to be in the pulpit preaching God's word, but it's also great to be on the radio hearing from people who are calling in for their questions. And first, today, we have Gary from Ohio. Gary, thank you for calling.
Hello. Yeah. It's good to hear you.
Well, brother, it is good to be on and good to hear from you.
Yeah, I've been in the faith for years. I was 12 years old, and my dad was a preacher, and I've always tried to follow God's word. But now that I'm older and I've outlived two wives, I get lonely, and I talk to God, but I don't seem to get any answers. And I'm just trying to, yeah, it'd be nice.
Okay.
I know he's out there.
I know. Let me suggest something, and Alex, you may too as well. I would say this, Gary. I've seen this happen many times, pastoring as many years as I did, pastoring in one church for 28 years straight. And a lot of these people who were left by themselves, I want to give you two suggestions. Be sure, if you can, be at worship with others, and then find a ministry of service. I really do believe this. I honestly believe to serve. And I know folks, they say, well, I can't do what I used to. But you can. I don't know if you're, computer, but you can write letters, send cards. If you can't get out, you can talk with people and find out how they're doing. Find a ministry of servanthood. I just want to tell you, it really does make a difference. Alex, what would you tell Gary? And we're going to pray for you, Gary. So everybody that's listening, write Gary's name down so we can be praying for him. Go ahead, Alex. Okay, we may have lost Alex. Yeah, we have. I'm sorry about that, Gary. I know that Brent's trying to get him back on. We'll find out what if he can or not. But I hope that helps. I want to pray for you, Gary. Father, I pray for Gary. I'm glad he has saved his 12-year-old boy, and now that he's outlived two wives, I know that's difficult and hard. And I know it says it's not good for man to be by himself like that. But, Father, I pray you would fill him with your Holy Spirit and your word, and that you would find he would be a church if they can't, maybe homebound, visiting, whatever the case might be, Father, that he might serve you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Gary, thank you for calling. Let's go to Mississippi and talk to Tiffany. Tiffany, thank you for calling.
Hope y'all enjoyed y'all's time off, but I'm so glad y'all are back. My ride home's not the same without you and Alex.
Well, listen, yeah. Alex was ministering to thousands of people, and he was doing a great job, and we were glad he could do that. But we're glad to be back on live as well. Go ahead, amen. Tiffany.
Yes, sir. I was just going to encourage people. I'm 44, and I had never read my Bible all the way through, and I never really read it, to be honest, unless I was in church service. Well, I've started reading it, and I've just enjoyed it so much, and I see myself in all these people that I'm reading about in the Bible, and Gideon, and I love the book of Hosea, and then I read the book of Jonah, and I didn't even know that there was a whole conversion story in that book. It wasn't just about a man and a fish, and just read your Bible. And to the guy that just called, that I'll be praying for you, but if you read your Bible every day, you can't say that you hadn't heard from God.
Amen. So, you think God speaks to us, doesn't he?
Amen. And by the way, I commend you for reading the Bible as you're doing. Bert, I don't have it in front of me right now, but there is kind of an introduction to the Bible that sometimes you'll hear, and it says it has God for its author, truth for its content, salvation for its end, without any mixture of error. And to read the Bible is to hear from God. And that's true, isn't it? Just as the caller said. So good for you. And yes, you're right. The book of Jonah has one of the greatest revivals in history. That was the repentance and conversion of Nineveh, wasn't it?
It is. And the book of Hosea, outside of Jesus Christ coming in the redemption, I believe that's the greatest story of redemption, Alex, with Hosea and his wife Gomer. And I'm telling you, that is Hosea. If you'll read that and understand that, it'll touch your heart. So I thank you for that. We're praying for you. That number, we do have lines that are open, is 888-589-8840. If you have a prayer request even or a Bible question, we'd love to hear from you today. Let's go to Texas, and it's Randy. Randy, thank you for calling.
Hello, Alex and Bert. I sure enjoy your show, and I received this question from a friend a while back, and he and I both talked about it. We don't agree with what was said, but the thing that was said is that the Jews or Israel is not God's chosen people any longer. Just wondering what your thoughts are on that, and if you could point us to some good resources on that.
Okay. Alex, let me see. Did God ever say he was dismissing them as his chosen people?
No, he really didn't. And, you know, Paul addresses this in Romans, especially Romans 9, where Paul asked a rhetorical question. And a rhetorical question is one where the answer becomes very obvious. Like Paul said, what? Don't you know that you're not your own? You're bought with a price. That's in 1 Corinthians 6. But in Romans chapter 9, Paul says, has Israel's unbelief made the promises of God to no effect? And he says, God forbid. So no, Israel is absolutely, absolutely, absolutely God's chosen people. And one day, the covenant promises to Abraham will be fulfilled. Now, I want to mention a couple of authors and a couple of books. So the number one, to respond to replacement theology, the idea that the church has somehow subordinated or replaced Israel, the best way to respond to that is to prayerfully read Romans chapter 9.
Amen.
And if anybody could speak authoritatively on the gospel and Israel, I think the Apostle Paul could do that. But a really good book, and I don't think I've ever mentioned this book on the radio, but it is so good. Israel at 40 by H.L. Wilmington. Now, three authors that are just phenomenal. One was Dr. Harold Wilmington, and the other was John Walvoord, W-A-L-V-O-R-D, John Walvoord. And he wrote a book called Oil, Armageddon, and the Middle East. That is really good. And Bert, wasn't Dr. Walvoord at Dallas Seminary?
Yes, he was a professor. Yes, he was. Just a great man. He wrote one of the thickest books I've ever read in my life about prophecy. He is a great man. He helped me so much. And so I would say this, Randy. You know, Jew, the Hebrew, the Israelite being God's chosen people does not diminish God coming to us. You know, it's kind of like this. I'm going to give this illustration. We'll go to the next call. I think I can do it real quickly. Jan and I, my wife, have three children, Nathan, Matthew, and Micah. Nathan was born first. We loved him with as much love as you could. And then Matthew was born. Guess what, Alex? We loved Matthew as much as we loved Nathan, but it did not diminish our love for our firstborn son.
Right.
Then
right.
God gave us a third one, Micah, and guess what? We loved him as much as the other two. It did not diminish that. So this is God's love. And so, yes, he loves the Hebrews, but he loves us as well. But he has a purpose for both,
yes.
And he's going to carry it out. Randy, we hope that helps, brother. Let's go to Mississippi. Vincent, thank you for calling.
Hello.
Yes, go right ahead.
How do you live in the world but not be of the world?
Okay. Alex, that's a scripture that God told us to obey. We can't get out of this world, Vincent. We're going to be in it. But we don't have to participate in the world thinking. We call it a biblical worldview. We don't have to think as the world thinks. It's a secular worldview. We don't have to do The Bible talks about, where is it, Alex, running to the same excess that we used to run to, you know?
But yes.
It says we've been delivered and we're new creations in Christ, Vincent. So we follow Christ with all of our heart. Alex, go ahead.
Well, you know, I would encourage people to read 1 John 2, 15 through 28. And the bottom line, it might sound simplistic, but it's really true. Abide in Christ, and we will not be ashamed before him at his appearing. 1 John 2, 15 through 17, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he who does the will of God abides forever. And in Romans chapter 7, back to Paul, I mean, the nature that we feed is the nature that's going to have dominance. Okay, so when you become a believer, you put your faith in Christ, you're born again. And the Bible uses several terms, regenerated, converted. Now, for the rest of your life, you are positionally in Christ. But that doesn't mean that your carnal nature gives up without a fight. Now, you stay in prayer, read the Bible, daily walk with the Lord, feed your soul, and, you know, good discipleship, go to church. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, the Bible says. And a great passage on that is Galatians 5. Bert, here's a name, and forgive me, I'd love to recommend great books, but my life is the amalgam of the books that have shaped me. Did you ever hear of an evangelist and pastor named Sumner Wimp?
W-E-M-P. Yes, I have. Yes.
You might have had him at West Jackson.
No, but I went to hear him. I forgot where, but yes.
He's long since in heaven. This is a great book title, and it's just a little bitty book. How on Earth Can I Be Spiritual? And that is... It's a great title, because you might have asked that in desperation. How on earth can I be spiritual? Well, as long as we're here on earth, we're supposed to be, aren't we?
We really are. And that one that you said, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we're believers, we've been indwelled by the Spirit of God, and we feed upon God's Word and serve Him. We hope that helps, Vincent. Yes, there's victory. We're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. What do we conquer? Most of the time, it's our own self and our selfish desires. We got time at least for one more. Scott in Oklahoma. Scott, thank you for calling.
Hey, I got just one question. Alex said he was going to be at Liberty Church in Oklahoma on Sunday. I just wanted to know where that was at.
Great question. It's in Enid, Oklahoma, excuse me, which is right near Oklahoma City. As far as I'm aware, I'm flying into Oklahoma City. And so, tell you what I want to do tomorrow on Fire Away Friday, if I may. I'll give the address and everything. But I believe the town is Enid, Oklahoma, which is right just moments away from Oklahoma City.
Scott, hope you can be there, brother.
Yeah.
Appreciate you calling.
I'll plan on it.
Amen. Well, thank you, Scott. And we appreciate you. William from Ohio, don't have to go to your question, William, but it's talking about witnessing to family members. Make sure they know Jesus Christ is Savior. Share with them what God has done for them, how they can trust Christ and follow Him, and then live it. Alex, what would you add to that within 10, 15 seconds?
Well, keep a heart of gratitude. Read Psalm 9:1. Praising the Lord and telling everyone of His wonderful works.
Well, tomorrow is Fire Away Friday. It's a day that we look forward to. We were unable to do it live last Friday. Lord willing, we're going to be live tomorrow and take as many Bible questions as we can. And we're going to look forward to that. And so tell others about this program, Exploring the Word, American Family Radio. But more importantly, tell everybody about the Lord Jesus Christ.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.